This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back. It is Overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer with you for the next 2 hours, taking you up until 10 o'clock. Feel free to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, 800-636-1067, or you can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So we'll get back into some of the sustained success. Also want to take a look at some of the mock drafts, but also wanted to alert you that we're going to be keeping our eyes on USA-Canada tonight, and I've told the great producer Ben tonight that if the United States does score a goal, that regardless of if I'm talking about the Commanders or the Nationals or whatever, that you will hear the beautiful sound of a goal horn. You got it for us, Ben? You can play it for us when you get a second. So, United States taking on Canada here in TD Garden, getting underway in just a couple of minutes. Looks like it's counting down. There you go. If you hear this, the United States has scored. If you hear that, the United States has scored. Now, hopefully it's something where we hear that nonstop for about the next 2 hours, and then as I'm driving home, that it's like 8-1. I would love for it to be that way. But 800-636-1067, you want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Sustained success for this team, how do they build it? How do they make sure that this team is built around Jaden the correct way, so that Jaden can go out there and be successful and lead this team to multiple Super Bowl appearances and hopefully multiple Super Bowl victories? Let's get out to Zeke, who is in D.C. Zeke, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing? Love your show.
Appreciate it, Zeke.
Yeah, I think you build it. We use Philadelphia as an example. They build it through the draft, but they went out and got two key free agents, which is A.J. Brown and Saquon Barkley. I think we have to go after Garrett, man, because you're looking at, I would give two first-round picks just to get him. You're not talking about getting a guy. You're talking about an all-pro, somebody that can step up that defensive line. You said it, Toby. You said defense wins championships. So we have to put an anchor at that DC on that defensive line. And I would do it for Garrett, because what's the 29th pick I think we have?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah.
The 29th pick?
Mm-hmm.
That's like a second-rounder. So you're telling me you'd rather keep that pick and get a second-round player versus go ahead and give that pick up for Myles Garrett? Nah, to me, that's a no-brainer. And I think we can get everything else through the draft, but I definitely want to build up that defensive line, number one. And maybe we can trade one of the two that we have, either Payne or Allen, and get some other picks later on in the round. What do you think about that?
Sure, appreciate it, Zeke. Great phone call. Yeah, I think, so this is where I'm at on that. When it comes to Myles Garrett, I would love to make a move for him if it's two ones. If that's ultimately what you're going to do, I'd probably do it. If it's less than that, I'd for certain do it. If it's a little bit more, depending upon the player that you're asking for, I'd consider it. But the reason that I think it's different than what he's talking about with Philadelphia is just where these teams are at in terms of where they're built. You know, Philadelphia has been a built team for a long time. And so for a built team that has a lot of positions that are kind of set to go out and get a Saquon Barkley, to go out and trade for an A.J. Brown. It makes sense. And it's something that you can do because you're not frankly worried about what you're going to do at your second corner spot, what you're going to do with your right tackle. You're kind of set there. So you understand, okay, I'm fine at these spots. Versus when you look at Washington, you don't feel great about right tackle. Right guard's injured. Center's fine. Left guard, you don't feel great about. Left tackle's still a question mark. You know, I think realistically of the five linemen that you have, you feel good about two of them. You feel good about Brandon Coleman and whether he's going to end up being your tackle or left guard. And you feel good about Tyler Biadasz. Cosme's injured right now. You feel good about him when he's back on the football field. But, okay, so that's at least two, maybe three offensive line spots that you need to improve. Wide receiver, you feel good about Terry, and that's it. Because the only two guys on your roster right now are Terry McLaurin and Luke McCaffrey. So you can't say that you feel good about receiver. That's all of a sudden four, five receivers that you have to address. Tight end, you don't have Zach Ertz. Right now you're looking at just Ben Sinnott essentially on the roster. Well, you're going to have to do something there. Running back. I think if you went back with the same running backs you had this year, you could live with it, but I think just about everybody in the fan base wants to upgrade there. So suddenly you're looking at another running back. You look on the defensive side. People want to upgrade the defensive end spot. Torrence Armstrong's solid as a defensive end number two, so you need to get a number one type of defensive end. Myles Garrett would obviously fill that. I understand that. You look at the defensive tackle position. If you leave everything as is right now, you've got enough guys with John Allen, Deron Payne, and Johnny Newton. You could bring in someone else, but there's a potential you could move on from one of the veteran guys. Okay, so then maybe that creates a little bit of a need. Cornerback, like we talked about. You feel good about Lattimore, at least in terms of what he's shown. He's going to be your top corner. You got Sanra still. Nothing else. Not much behind that. And you feel, I guess, okay about safety, but you still have to bring back someone at that strong safety position, whether it's Jeremy Chinn or someone else. I just ran you through the entire football team, all 22 positions, and you felt good about, what, three of them? Two of them? Like, realistically, there's not a lot. So that's where I think you run into the problem of, okay, go get Myles Garrett. I would love to, except for the fact that if I have to trade off multiple first-round picks, yes, he replaces the first-round pick next year or this year, but what about next year? I have problems. I have things that I need to address. I have legitimate issues all throughout the roster versus if Philadelphia says, I'll trade two first-round picks. Yeah, why wouldn't you? You don't have problems at left tackle. You don't have problems at right tackle. You don't have a problem at running back. You don't have an issue all over the football field like Washington does. And so if they say, you know, we'll move on and go get Myles Garrett and we'll move those picks, yeah, I think it would make sense, obviously. But if they also said, well, we have to build this up and maybe next season is the time to do it, I think that makes sense as well. I think you have to be careful with just because everything went well in year one, which it did, getting a little bit ahead of yourself and getting a little over your skis and being too crazy in the second year of the rebuild. Because you could also be in the same spot next year where instead of me going through all these positions saying, okay, you could use an upgrade here, you could use an upgrade here, and maybe I'm saying, well, you could use a second corner, maybe use another linebacker, and that's about it. You could. You could still be in the same spot, but the chances are, if you hit your draft picks, you're probably going to fix a lot of the O-line. You'll probably sign someone to maybe be on the opposite side of corner or something of that nature, and you're not going to have as many problems. You can only do so much in one offseason, and that's why you still have some of these issues that you do in year two of the rebuild, because you couldn't fix them in year one. If you can add all those things in and still go get Myles Garrett, great. But I don't want it to be something where we come into next offseason and you're like, man, they've still got a lot of holes. Great that you'd have Myles Garrett, but I think that would be the one issue I'd have there. Other thing that he mentioned too in that call was, would someone want John Allen or Deron Payne in a trade that you get some of that draft capital back? And I ask you, take yourself out of the DMV, go up to Cleveland, go to wherever wants a defensive tackle, and you tell me if you'd be willing to give up a pick for John Allen or Deron Payne. You tell me. I can tell you what I would say if I was in Cleveland. I'm good. I'm good. Let me just read you their stats from this past season, and you tell me if you'd want to trade a pick for this guy, unless you would necessarily want, unless you're trading like a day three pick. So Daron Payne this past season, you trading a, are you trading a big time pick for a guy with four sacks and, let's see, how many tackles for loss? Five tackles for loss? I'm not. I like Daron Payne. I think he can make an impact, but I'm not paying that much for him. How about John Allen? Are you going to trade anything above a day three pick for him? He had three sacks in eight games this past season. I'm good. So maybe he could have finished with six. If you play it out and double his games, maybe he could have finished with six sacks. He had three tackles for loss. Are you trading anything worth anything for that? No, you're not. Exactly right, Ben. You're not. So to me, that's the thing when people are saying, yeah, well, maybe someone would, you got to stop looking at their Madden ratings. They're not good. They have not been good. And unless something changes, they're not going to be good. I'm not saying they can't help you, but we got to stop romanticizing it as if they're going to get anything of value for either of those guys. And if you're saying, throw them in the Garrett trade, if I'm Cleveland, I'm saying, I'll pass. I have no reason to want this guy. None whatsoever. I'm clearly rebuilding if I'm trading Myles Garrett. I'm not going to get this asset that is worth maybe a sixth-round pick. So, no, I'm good. So that's the thing with that. I don't hate the idea. If someone was willing to give you a third-round pick for either of those guys, I would personally drive them to wherever it is, even if it's Seattle. I'll take you there. Great. You're not getting anything for them. So that, to me, is the one thing that you have to watch here. A lot of people are saying, well, throw one of them. I don't know that any team around the league is licking their chops to get John Allen or Daron Payne. Newton, maybe. Sandra Still, guys like that, sure. Not John Allen or Daron Payne. Let's take a break when we come back. 29th overall pick. Washington has that going into this year's draft. And there are some different guys that have been projected to come to Washington by various mock drafts. We'll take a look at some of the guys that could be coming here to Washington at pick number 29, give you our thoughts. We'll do that next here on The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We may play hockey at some point tonight. We may. I don't know if it's going to be anytime in the next like half hour, but we may play hockey at some point tonight. We're still waiting. We're listening to the anthems right now. I couldn't tell if they were booing the Canadian national anthem. I couldn't tell. It didn't seem like it. I know it's pretty obvious when they were singing the Star Spangled Banner in Montreal that they were booing. I couldn't tell if they were booing this national anthem in Boston. But regardless, we're just a few minutes away from puck drop. USA and Canada will keep you up to date on everything going on in that game. Talking about the Commanders, you want to hop in, going to take a look at some of the mock drafts. What do you want to see them do at pick number 29? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So I think this is going to be interesting to see what positions they address. Like I talked about earlier, when you look at improving a football team and building a football team, you have to look at some of that positional value, and that plays into who you're going to draft. And so when you look at some of these mock drafts, I don't know if I love some of the value here, but I think seeing the way that they want to use some of these guys makes a little bit of sense. So we'll start with maybe my most respected, the guy that I like the most, Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. And I think his is interesting. So he has Washington going at 29 with a linebacker, Jihad Campbell, out of Alabama. And his little write-up here says, Campbell's one of my favorite players in the class. I believe you'll see some teams work him out as an edge rusher this spring. When he's allowed to rush, he flashes elite potential. So this to me is an interesting one because if you tell me that they're going to draft an off-ball linebacker at 29, I'm out. I'll pass on off-ball linebacker at 29. But if you're going to be able to use him at edge, now I might be a little bit intrigued. Now I might be fully on board. So that's going to be interesting to see what they do with that. I think that's an intriguing one. Some of the guys going around him, Matthew Golden, wide receiver of Texas, going to Buffalo. Josh Connerly, we'll see him in another mock draft in a little bit. He's an offensive tackle from Oregon. Look, I think a lot of people, if you're big into draft stuff, you might have seen the clip of Mike Green, edge rusher from Marshall, absolutely dominating Josh Connerly in a rep. Little worrisome, but I think overall he's a solid player. But that clip alone might move his draft stock down a little bit. Speaking of Josh Connerly, another NFL Network writer, Gennardo Felice. I'm not sure how you say his name. Phyllis? I'm not sure exactly how you say his name. Regardless, he had Josh Connerly for the Commanders at 29, offensive tackle out of Oregon. And I think this one would make sense. The issue I have when you start drafting guys that late in the first round at that position, chances are if you're available there, then you're just probably not that good in terms of elite starting potential. Look at what Washington did last year, where they decided that, remember last year, they were considering trying to trade back up. I think they were trying to trade back up into the first round to take that tackle, never really materialized, and they got Brandon Coleman. How much better is, say, a guy like Tyler Guyton when he was drafted in the 20s for Dallas compared to Brandon Coleman? I don't know that there's a huge gap. And so if you're drafting an offensive tackle at 29, you might be better looking at a guy to go inside and drafting an offensive guard because you can get good value there, or just waiting a few rounds and seeing if you can't find a tackle that's a little more of a project that might have just as good of an upside as some of these guys. Chris Trapasso of CBS has Washington taking an edge rusher from Georgia, Michael Walker. This is the first one that has an edge rusher going there. Intriguing to me. So the Commanders make this selection, hoping Dan Quinn and company can get the most out of the ridiculous frame and athletic profile of Williams. He's someone that wasn't maybe the most productive in his time at Georgia, but is a really, really good football player. And I'd be intrigued if you could get someone like that in this draft. I think you'd be thrilled if that's who you walked away with. I think if you end up with Michael Williams as your pick at number 29, you would live with that 100%. So in 2024, he had 5 sacks. 2023, he had 4.5. The year before that, he had 4.5. So 14 in 3 years. He had a combined 23 tackles for loss in 3 years as well. So maybe not the most productive career you've ever seen. I think he's maybe playing more so a little bit of that outside linebacker edge role that could drop in coverage a little bit as well. But I think he's someone that would be intriguing if you could end up with someone like Michael Williams. I would love to end up with a legit edge rusher, if that's something that you could do there. Daniel Flick of Sports Illustrated has edge rusher Jack Sawyer from Ohio State, and I really like this. If they were to draft him, I think it'd be a really solid pick. The only thing I would say about Jack Sawyer compared to a guy like Michael Williams or maybe someone else is I don't know if he's an elite pass rusher. I think he's a really good edge rusher where he can set the edge as a run defender. He can still get after the quarterback, obviously. But I don't know if he's elite. And I might go with someone that has a little more elite pass rushing skills, knowing I have Dorrance Armstrong on the other side. But I wouldn't hate that pick if they went with Jack Sawyer. And we finally dropped the puck. So we're underway, keeping an eye on the game in Boston as you got the U.S. taking on Canada. If you hear a goal horn, remember, the United States have scored. If I just randomly boo, chances are Canada scored. So we'll keep an eye on it for you. Some other ones. Pro Football Focus. Jordan Plucker had offensive tackle Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State. Now, admittedly, I don't know a whole lot about Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State. Apparently, he showed well at the Senior Bowl. That's the only question I have sometimes when you do some of these. He would fall into that category of late riser, right? Senior Bowl, what you do with the combine, some of those things. Now, that's based off good on good at the Senior Bowl. So that's a nice thing versus just going off of fully traits. You're going off of his actual football ability, which is good. But I do question sometimes when you go with those sorts of guys, is it the smartest thing to have that sort of thing where they draft them at 29? Maybe let someone else see if that's the case. Because, look, if you're drafting someone that's a late riser, they didn't have the pedigree before. But we'll see. I think that'll be an interesting one to keep an eye on. Obviously, a great program at North Dakota State. And then the last one we got here, Ben Crabbs from the 33rd team, has Washington looking at Nick Scowerton, an edge rusher at Texas A&M. When Denton was talking about him the other day, talking about how he's a good run defender. So I think that would be nice for Washington. If you can get some guys that can set the edge a little bit better, maybe let your defensive tackles do some stuff. Because I think when you look at the guys in the middle, like we're talking about with John Allen and Daron Payne, I don't think they move on from both of them. I think they could move on from one of them. I don't know that you see them getting moved on from both of them. And if that's the case, letting Johnny Newton work with whichever one they keep and see if they can improve that thing, I think would make some sense. Getting a good run defender on the edge where they just frankly didn't have those sorts of guys this year. Armstrong was solid, but Dante Fowler, who played quite a bit, he's not a good run defender. He's not. It was a solid pass rusher. I'm intrigued to see if they're going to bring him back, and that'll kind of feed into our next discussion. But I would like to see them use that pick on maybe an edge rusher, an offensive tackle. One thing that we've discussed that I think is going to be interesting to monitor is if they'll go at wide receiver at 29. When you think of the guys that'll be available at 29, maybe a Luther Burden falls down that far. I don't know that he will. But if Luther Burden's there, would you consider him a guy that's really good after the catch? Could be used in some of the stuff that they like to do where it's a quick passing game and let guys create after the catch? Maybe you could go after a Luther Burden. Could they go after a Mecca Egbuka out of Ohio State? I like a Mecca Egbuka. I just don't know that I view him as that much better as a guy at 29 versus someone that I could get in, say, the third round. I think he fits everything they're trying to do. And so if you want a guy that fits exactly into that offense, then maybe you just go ahead and take Egbuka there, depending on how they are going to dress wide receiver. That's actually something I want to dive into here in just a little bit as well. Jeremy Fowler had a clip that he was talking about wide receiver today on NFL Live. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. But I think that's going to be something to monitor, where if they decide to go in that direction, I wouldn't blame them, but I don't know that I love the first-round receivers at 29 that much more than guys that you can get in the third or fourth round. And I think if I'm trying to upgrade certain positions through the draft, wide receiver might be one that I do in a later round, similar to running back. I think running back is something that you really need to improve at. You need to get that home run hitter. You need to get someone that can go to that next level and get to that next gear that, frankly, Brian Robinson can't get to. Even when Brian Robinson's been fully healthy, he just doesn't have that next gear like some of these other running backs have. You know, his longest run of his career is, what, like 40 yards? That run last year against Tennessee to open up the game was really nice, but he hasn't had many of those sorts of runs. So if you can get a guy like Omarion Hampton, you can get a guy like Trevion Henderson. The tough part is a lot of these guys have risen up the board recently where, with what happened this past season in the National Football League at the running back position, wouldn't be surprised if running back gets bumped up the board a little bit. Trevion Henderson is a heck of a player. I was thinking that maybe you could get some value there and get him maybe third round, maybe second. You're seeing some mocks now where he's in the first round. You're looking at guys like Omarion Hampton, like I talked about a little bit earlier. Could a Quinshon Judkins, another Ohio State back? So I think that's something I'd like to see them upgrade. I don't know that that's a first rounder. I think addressing the line, though, would make the most sense in the first round for them at 29. And I think there's guys to do it. And another reason, too, why You know, when we were talking this this discussion earlier about going after a Myles Garrett, Matt Miller of ESPN referenced this, I think it was last week sometime, talking about how many guys have true first-round grades for him. He said he only had about 14. And if that's the case, maybe this isn't the most talented draft. Do you feel it's a little easier to move off of pick number 29 because of the weakness of this draft class? I don't know exactly how good next year's class is going to be, but would you maybe be a little more willing to go for a Myles Garrett because you know you're going to get an elite edge rusher that maybe you wouldn't have a chance at? Intriguing name to keep an eye on that I don't know. I'd have to do some more research on some of these things. Apparently, James Pierce out of Tennessee is maybe slipping down some boards, and it has nothing to do with on-field production because I think he's a heck of a football player. Might be some off-field stuff. That's something to monitor, because if that guy seems to be available and you can kind of get a read on him, maybe that could be an option to get a really, really talented edge rusher. I would like to see them go edge rusher or offensive line personally. That's where I would lean if I'm drafting, if I'm Adam Peters. And it doesn't necessarily have to be tackle, like I said, because I don't know that the tackle at 29 is going to be that much of a better value than someone you can get a little bit later in terms of some of the question marks they're going to have. Maybe you just go ahead and draft a guard there. And Canada's on the board first. That's disappointing. That's disappointing. Canada scores 448 in. Early goal for the Canadians. This is about the same time frame they scored in Saturday night's game, though, right? They scored. Connor McDavid scored around the same time frame. So U.S. is going to be fine. But this is one little bit of traffic shooting it towards the blue line. I don't know that Hellebuyck really even saw this, that it maybe take a deflection. Looks like it maybe took a deflection. I don't know. Nathan MacKinnon with the first goal of the game. The Canadians lead 1-0. Maybe looks like he could have made that save, just probably didn't track it very well. Regardless, let's continue talking about the Commanders. Want to talk about the NFL draft. And also, we heard from Jeremy Fowler on ESPN a little bit earlier today about the wide receiver position. If they do what he said and aren't super aggressive, would you be happy with that? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer taking you up until 10 o'clock. Canadians up 1-0 early on in this hockey game. Nathan MacKinnon opening the scoring for the Canadians. They showed the stat on the broadcast. The Canadians have scored first in all four of their games. So, doesn't necessarily mean a win. U.S. has trailed in all three of their games. So, we'll see what happens. U.S. down early, though, 1-0. Canada with the goal from Nathan MacKinnon. Want to take a look at the Commanders. You look at wide receiver. Well, want to maybe look at some of the Commanders free agents you want to bring back. Maybe it'll tie into wide receiver as well. But Jeremy Fowler was on ESPN, I believe it was NFL Live earlier today, and this is what he had to say about the wide receiver 2 position and what Washington could do in the offseason.
Wide receiver, this is the question all Commanders fans want to answer. Who's going to be our number 2 wide receiver opposite Terry McLaurin? I don't necessarily sense that Washington's going to spend or splurge here big time, but they will address it, certainly, and there are a lot of players out there that fit. We talked about Cooper Kupp earlier via trade. That could be an option. Christian Kirk in Jacksonville, if he's a cap casualty, he went way back with Cliff Kingsbury from their Arizona days. They did well together, so that could be an option as well.
So the thing that's interesting here is he said they're not going to spend or splurge or go big, right? Who are the options to go big on outside of T. Higgins? Is the report essentially that they're not going to go after T. Higgins? Because who else is the big time? Like, Debo's not going to be big, right? He might be cut. If Cooper Kupp's in the conversation, then I would assume Debo kind of fits in that same ilk. Like, who are they going after outside of T. Higgins that would be considered going big? We can take some your phone calls on this, 800-636-1067, if you want to talk about it, where Jeremy Fowler saying they're not going to go big. I just don't know that outside of T. Higgins, I don't know that there is a name that you're going big for. You know, are you going to go after Devontae Adams? That's free agent. Like, that's not anything too crazy. So I don't know exactly what, you know, he's trying. Basically, I think he's saying they're not going after T. Higgins. And I'm totally fine with that. Because like I laid out earlier, it's not a premier position right now to me. I think some teams are treating it that way, that it's a prime position. It's one that you have to spend big assets on. I don't know that you have to. I know the team that just won the Super Bowl obviously has two really good receivers. One that won a Heisman Trophy, was drafted early. One that's one of the best in the game, and A.J. Brown. I get that. But you also look then, who won last year before, was coming off two straight Super Bowls, the Kansas City Chiefs. They didn't exactly have elite wide receiver options the last couple of years. So I don't know that when you look at wide receiver, if that's a position that I feel like they have to go spend big on, because I just don't know that outside of T. Higgins that there are big-time guys. And if that's the case, then I'm fine with it. But looking at other guys that Washington could look to bring back, I think looking at free agents that Washington has, we talk a lot about the big-time guys. We talk a lot about Bobby Wagner. We talk a lot about Zach Ertz. We talk a lot about Jeremy Chinn. I think those are the big three of the guys that we kind of discuss whether they should come back or not. Who are some of the other guys that you think should be brought back? So there's 29 of them. I'm not going to go through this whole list, but some of the names that I'd be interested in bringing back for the right price: Dante Fowler, double-digit sack season. He only was here for 1 year and $3.25 million. You're going to have to bump that pay up a little bit. But if you could get him for a reasonable contract to be a situational pass rusher, I think that would make all the sense in the world to bring back Dante Fowler. Looking at wide receiver, like we were just talking about, I think I would bring back both Diami and Noah Brown. I think the number one thing that I want at wide receiver this offseason is I want a speed guy. I want someone that can take the top off the defense, someone that can get down the field and open up some spots for this offense to create. And I think having a guy like Diami and seeing what he could do in the second half of the year is huge. You know, looking at what he did in the playoffs, he can get down the field. Now, the one thing that is a little bit of a knock on Diami is he's the downfield threat without the blazing speed. He's good down the field, but you know, if you could get a guy in the third round, to me, like Isaiah Bond is a name that I keep coming back to. You can get a guy like Isaiah Bond in the third or fourth round, or maybe even have to take him in the second round. I would love to see that sort of thing versus taking one of these guys in the first round like we were talking about. But I think when you look at what the Commanders want to do, I think Diami fits. Honestly, my number one priority outside of, say, Zach Ertz, Bobby, and Jeremy Chinn, maybe you could throw Mariota in there just because of the fact if you could have him as a backup long-term, I think that would make sense. Maybe outside of those guys, Noah Brown is pretty close to the top of my bring him back list. The reason being, he's not going to cost a lot. You could sign him to a 2 or 3 year deal. Maybe you have to pay him, let's see, this season he was getting just over $1 million. Maybe you could pay him, let's see what SpotTrack has his market value as. They have his market value as $1.5 million. Maybe you have to pay him a little bit more than that. But if you could sign him to a 3 year deal worth $12 million for a year, sign me up for that. Because I think he gives you exactly what you need. I'm not bringing him back as my wide receiver two. I want him to be more wide receiver three and situational sort of guy, because I think he's a really, really good blocker on the outside, a big dude. Reliable hands in the middle of the field, someone who's not scared to go over the middle, a bigger body for Jaden to throw the ball to. Obviously had some big moments this season, including the Hail Mary, but I thought he was really, really good at running those stop routes in the zone coverage. So I think having him back would be big, especially considering he's not going to cost a lot. Maybe the other name you could throw in here, Cornelius Lucas. I think, how would you feel about this line if this is what they went with, Ben? If next season, because Cosme's going to start the year on injured reserve, probably, he's not going to be back. To me, I wouldn't count on him before week 10. Some people are saying he could be back around week 5. Regardless, he's not going to start the year week 1. If week 1, their offensive line was Brandon Coleman at left tackle, Nick Allegretti at left guard, Tyler Biadasz at center, they decide to keep Andrew Wiley and kick him into right guard, and then go at right tackle with Cornelius Lucas, how would you feel about that offensive line?
I like Cornelius personally. I've been a fan of him for the past couple of years, really, as a swing tackle. And we've seen when his number's been called, he has stepped up in a big way for this football team. However, when looking at some of the plans for the offensive line this season, of course, you account for Cosme being out probably at least the first 10 weeks, as you mentioned. My plans, I didn't really include Wiley as part of that list. And I was kind of wondering, if you do and go get that tackle in the draft, Do you have the opportunity of moving Coleman back to his natural position from college, back to playing guard, and maybe you release a guy like Al Greddy? I'm not sure what the plans are, of course. I think it's all going to depend on how they're feeling about certain guys in the draft, because I think this team could certainly use a really great offensive tackle. And not to say Brandon Coleman didn't play well this year. I think when he was healthy and in certain situations, he really performed pretty well for a guy that was kind of thrown in the fire to play left tackle in the National Football League. That is an insanely hard thing to do. I think the injuries kind of weighed on him later as the season went on. But, you know, I'm interested to see what this team does going forward, because I think Coleman is a guy that you could swing out on the tackle. Lucas, a key guy that you can bring back to be a tackle as well. But I think they have some flexibility with what they can bring back on the line, and I'm interested to see what they do.
Yeah, I think with Coleman potentially being moved into left guard would make some sense, but you'd have to find an upgraded tackle. And I don't know that you're going to find that in the draft necessarily. Maybe you find a guy who's a little bit better, but everybody's going to come with concerns at 29. So that's the concern I would have, but I wouldn't hate that. I think long-term, that's why I count him as a long-term, he's part of the plans and he's a good. I just don't know whether it's going to be a tackle or a guard. And I think what Mitch Tischler has said all along when he's been on our airwaves, and I think it's a good point, is it kind of depends on what they're going to allow him to do. If they just allow him to develop at left tackle, then maybe he can become that guy. If you just want him to be comfortable and go ahead and be a really effective player right now, a plus-plus, then maybe you just go ahead and kick him into left guard and find somebody at left tackle. But yeah, I don't know that they have to move on from Wiley. He's not great, there's no question. But I almost wonder if you could, you'll save some money, but again, you have to have a better option in some of these scenarios like we're talking about. If you kicked him into guard, I think you'd feel okay about that. You know, I think that was a real discussion going into some of those playoff games late. They didn't do it, but the reason wasn't necessarily because they didn't think Wiley was going to be good there. It was more so they didn't want to mess with the communication, which, you know, in loud environments, the right guard is kind of signaling to the center, and you don't want to mess up some of those things if you're going into a Philadelphia or a Detroit raucous environment like that. You don't want to mess up some of those signals and get some false start penalties and stuff because you're trying to mess with something for continuity's sake. You kind of just stick with what they had. But I think that would be an interesting thing if that's what they decided to do. But that being said, I think you have to prioritize bringing back Cornelius Lucas. I don't know about Trent Scott. Some of the other dudes to keep an eye on, Noah Igbinoghene, I would consider bringing him back. I thought he was really solid. I think some of these guys, John Bates, maybe. I'm not big on Bates. I know Linnell's been pretty big on Bates. I know, listen to his conversation with Logan Paulson recently, I know he was big on John Bates. He kind of fits the same mold as a Logan Paulson, a blocking tight end, really versatile, but you know, kind of a gritty, hardworking kind of guy. I don't know that I'm as big on John Bates returning, but I think that'd be interesting. 800-636-1067. Taking a look at the free agents for Washington outside of a Bobby, Jeremy Chinn. You can give your opinion on those guys as well. But Bobby, Jeremy Chinn, Zach Ertz, we've talked about those guys a lot. And I think we get the overwhelming consensus of just about everybody wants Bobby back. I think quite a few people want all of those guys back. Outside of those guys, looking at free agents like Noah Brown, Cleveland Farrell, Dante Fowler, Cornelius Lucas, Jamison Crowder, Deami Brown, which of those guys do you want to return and be brought back to this roster? 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines, or you can tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. We'll continue talking Commanders next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime on The Fan. Toby Altizer with you until 10 o'clock. Keep an eye on USA and Canada. Canada up 1-0 still, about 6 minutes to go. In the first period, we'll keep you up to date on everything going on USA Canada. Feel free if you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. You can also tweet at me at Toby_Altizer. So some of these other free agents that they could bring back, I would definitely like to see the top three guys brought back. I think Bobby makes a lot of sense in terms of the impact that he has on this roster. I don't even know if you can quantify it, to be honest. I don't know if you can fully understand the impact that he has for this football team without, you know, fully understanding how big he has been for this team, because some of the stuff I think is, it's just not able to be measured in terms of stats, right? When you look at the way that he can impact this team, I just think that you look at guys like Frankie Louvu, you look at guys like Jaden Daniels, for example, and the knowledge that he can bring to the game is just spectacular and help these guys out. Where you look at what Frankie was talking about in training camp, where he was talking about the ability of Bobby Wagner to look at something and say, I can tell that this is going to be a run play. I can tell that this is going to be this sort of play because of the alignment of the guards, of the tackles, of how the running back's taking his stance, all those things. I think you can see how important it is to have a guy like that in the building, to have a guy like that in the locker room where he can help out really everyone. Cosme talked about this even, where he had talked about when he lined up a certain way, just the way that he stood in his stance, Wagner was able to tell he was pulling or he was doing this or he was doing that. And I think having that sort of veteran leadership is going to be huge for this team. So I would like to see Bobby Wagner brought back. Jeremy Chinn, I think, is a really nice chess piece. I don't know that it has to be Chinn. That's the interesting part about all of this. I don't know what it has to be Jeremy Chinn because there are different safeties around the National Football League that can do some of the stuff that Jeremy Chinn does, where he can come down and play in the box as a nickel linebacker, or he can play as someone deep in coverage. He's better playing the run than he is the pass. But I think it would be interesting to see if they bring him back. I don't know that it has to be Chinn. There are some safeties out there that they could maybe go out and get. And sometimes that safety position is one where you can find some bargains. You know, Chinn kind of was this year. Maybe you could go out and try to find another project of some sort. And that way, if that's what you want to do, I don't know that I would necessarily hate if they brought him back or if they didn't bring him back, right? I think he's kind of a little bit expendable. The guy that's interesting to me on all this is Zach Ertz. I would like to see Zach Ertz back, and if you would have asked me this after, say, week 12, I don't know that I would have. At the end of the year, what he was able to do was spectacular. Obviously, the NFC Championship, he was the passing offense. There wasn't a whole lot to anyone else outside of him. So I think if you're able to get him back on a reasonable deal, which I think a lot of these guys would want to come back on reasonable deals, because I think they want to build a team, especially when you talk to Bobby or you talk to Zach Ertz, this might be one of their last runs. This might be their last run. If that's the case, I think they'd be willing to take decent deals to help you out. You want to be able to build around Jaden for one run for some of these guys, and having that sort of veteran leadership would be big. But I want to know what kind of step Ben Sinnott's going to take if you're going to ask me whether they should bring Ertz back. I'd be curious in the building how they felt he progressed throughout the season, and if they feel like in the offseason he can take that next step. Because Sinnott is someone that I think can really be a weapon for this offense if he can get to his potential. The thing that he can bring to this offense that Zach Ertz couldn't is that run after catch and really kind of that bumbling, stumbling tight end. You saw it in the preseason when he caught that one ball, got up the field, ran up the middle, and was able to break some tackles and had a really nice gain. I think having that in the offense would be huge. It'd give Jaden a potential check down threat or a guy that you can find underneath that can turn a 3 or 4 yard catch into a 15 yard gain, which Zach Ertz wasn't going to do. Now, I think the thing that Ben Sinnott lacks compared to Zach Ertz is Ertz has that veteran savvy understanding of how to run a route, how to get into the open spot in the zone and sit down, how to set up a route, how to do those different things, lean on a guy and then bend out, you know, those sorts of things. I don't know that Sinnott has that sophistication yet, which, look, he's a rookie and now going into his second year. You can't fully expect him to have what Zach Ertz has, who's been in the league for a long time. But I think for me, that would be the interesting thing to keep an eye on is what kind of potential do they think Ben Sinnott has in year two to get to that next level? Because he frankly didn't have much of an impact this year. You want to see him have a bigger impact next season. But outside of that, like we laid out, I think Fowler makes a lot of sense. I think Noah Brown makes sense. I think De'Ami Brown makes sense. And I think Cornelius Lucas. But outside of that, maybe Igbinoghene, and that's about it. So, and what we name off there? 8 names, maybe? So you're still looking at 21 free agents. that's kind of the point that we've been making about this team, where they have, yes, they have $75 million plus in effective cap space, but suddenly when you have to sign 29, 30 guys, maybe that's a little bit less. You know, that's that effective cap space where you're thinking, oh, we could go spend 30 easy on T. Higgins. Well, maybe in reality, you don't have $30 million to go play around with. Maybe in reality, that $75 million that you're looking at is somewhere in that 30, 40 kind of play range, where you're using that on a couple of guys to upgrade this team versus just one in T. Higgins. So I think that's going to be something to interesting to monitor. I think some of these guys will be brought back for sure. I just don't know how many. I don't know that a Cleveland Farrell's brought back. I don't know that he made a big enough impact. Hopefully you're able to go get a legit defensive end. You know, Tress Way is one who's a free agent. I'd love to see Tress back. I think he's obviously huge in the locker room. Everyone loves that guy. Thought he played well this year when he had to actually punt. When he actually had to get on the field, I thought he punted well. Final hour coming up next. I want to dive into some Nationals baseball. What grade would you give the Nats this offseason? And then what grade would you give them when you take into consideration the limitations that Mike Rizzo was given? We'll do that next here on The Fan.